Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that at the time of publication, there are just under 3 days left on the Lovecraft Desk crowdfunding campaign. So if you want to get in on that, now is the time. The new game is card driven. It has hundreds of creative prompts on cards and fantastic reference materials to make your game as slick and inspiring an experience as possible. It comes in a beautiful box set with art throughout by Vincent Sammy and Paul Tomes, and including hidden ultraviolet art that you can only see by shining a special UV flashlight that comes in the box. And there are also brand new scenarios by a truly diverse group of authors and fantastic new settings never before seen in Eldritch Horror. If you haven't already, you can go back and listen to the Black Armada Tales posse playing Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition, which we did earlier this year. If you like cosmic horror or if you like emergent mystery, definitely go and check it out. The campaign closes on the 9th of November, so depending on when you're listening, you haven't got very long left. So head on over and back the campaign now. Thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and I will be GMing tonight's game of Last Fleet. And with me, I have...
I'm Becky Anderson. I'm going to be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
My name's Ed Tomlinson. I'll be playing Dr. Tobias Roy, the Scorpio playbook, and our pronouns are he and him.
Hey folks, I'm Nick Bate. I am playing Commander Sam Buckley, the Taurus playbook, captain of the Hecate, all-round good guy. His pronouns are he, him, so are mine. I think that's everything.
And I am Sue Elliott. I'll be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini playbook, and our pronouns are she, her.
Nice. Edwin Stowe,
yes,
I believe it is upon you now to make a move to my disgust. So before you do it, let's just say what move it is you're making. You're going to make your start of session move. What's it called? Sleeper Agent.
Sleeper Agent. I haven't opened that thing up yet, so that's terrible of me. Sorry.
Because apparently we think that the bad things that he did last time are now dealt with, which I think is...
I may or may not have been involved with. You don't want to get my lawyers involved.
Hang on a minute, aren't I your lawyer?
Are you my lawyer?
You are a fighter pilot. I don't want you anywhere near a court.
No, I meant in real life.
I guess, informally. Is this a hard sell moment?
I mean, I don't have a practicing certificate at the moment, but that's just details.
It's going to be recorded. You all heard. Right, so yes, it's called Sleeper Agent. At the start of each session, if you aren't currently in the middle of dealing with the fallout from your last Sleeper Agent move, definitely not in the middle of it. You've set something up to damage the fleet. Oh, it is me. Yeah. Need to edit that. Roll sharp, etc., etc. It's plus sharp, so that's good. Except for my sharp's hero.
Every time we roll this move, you ask me if it should be smooth.
It should be smooth. And I get an XP, which means I level up, which is the only reason I'm doing it. So I'm destroying the fleet purely to become third level. Or is it second level? You brought it on yourself.
I would do that if I were you as well, so I have some respect for that.
7. So on a 7-9, choose 1. You discover warning signs before your actions have their full effect. You haven't left any telltale evidence that someone else might discover. There won't be widespread consequences.
This is fine.
Oh my God.
I'm going to do... I think I would like to discover warning signs before my actions have their full effect, which then means the other ones.
So there will be telltale, oh my God, and there will be widespread consequences.
Well, you know, I was on, what's the frigate that Loris is on?
The Tycon.
Yeah, I mean, I did have dinner at the Tycon that time.
You have been. You've been basically everywhere that could conceivably be the source of a problem in this episode. I don't think you've been inside Loris's actual fighter.
No.
But you could have been.
Could have been. I mean, my lab is near where they park their ships.
Where they park their ships? Like reverse parallel parking?
Beep, just pop them in there.
Beep, beep. This fighter... is reversing.
Yeah, that's what they're like, isn't it?
Ah, so many things that I could do to mess you up.
Oh, I'll level up. I'll do that while you're doing that.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to have a quick glance at my move sheet. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is so bad. I'm so bad. Okay, so what did you choose? You chose telltale warning signs.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, you discover warning signs before your actions have their full effect. So there is a possibility that there won't be widespread consequences if I can address it in time. But I guess that might leave telltale evidence that I might be involved.
Yes, it will. Oh, my God. I'm just trying to think about how this is going to work logically.
Go hard, Josh. We can take it.
When's the last time you were on the Agamemnon? It was a while ago, was it?
A few days ago, yeah.
So help me out with this, guys. I think I need a little bit of logistical help with this because I think I've worked out what I want to do. And what I want to do, my instant thought, well, instant after I turned it over in my mind for a while, was that Dr. R might have brought some personnel over from the Agamemnon who could pose a problem on Hecate now. Because that's the one thing, the Agamemnon, what they'd really like to do is avoid having a massive toe-to-toe fight with you. Because just like you don't really want to get destroyed, they don't really want to destroy your ship either. They want to keep it. So if they'd sent over some marines, then that'd be perfect for them and they could just kind of keep you distracted for a while.
Are they like dripping and blobby? Is that the telltale sign?
I don't know. I think about what telltale says. But the point is, you've been here for a few days, so why wouldn't they have done something about it already?
Maybe it's part of a bigger plan?
So anyway, anyone got any ideas as to whether... Is there a way that Dr. R could have made it possible for those guys to get over now? That's what I'm trying to think of.
Ah, you mean like in the middle of all this?
That is what I mean.
Left the airlock open, ajar, something.
I mean, the issue is that they'd see the ship coming. So what you'd have to do is disable the sensors
on one part of the ship
so that someone could get across without being seen. Just a small, it'd be like a small narrow area in which
a
ship
spot.
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll just answer my own question, but it was...
Which also then now explains how we might be able to get across the other way.
No, because your sensors that are knackered, not...
Yeah, but maybe I've set up a blind spot on the other ship at the same time.
Maybe you have, but maybe you haven't. Right, fine. That's really helpful. I think I know what's going to happen, and you are going to get evidence ahead of it happening. That's ahead of what? Ahead of it having its full effect. Okay, so, Loris.
Yes.
Let us discover what is going on with Loris. So I think, just to set the scene, Hecate is currently, like, Agamemnon is sat between Hecate and Tychon, and Hecate is going to work its way round to Tychon, but we decided that this might take a while, basically because it's a big ship.
Yep.
But you're not going to send the fighters over without you, because it would leave both you and the fighters exposed, and you don't really trust Agamemnon to keep their word. So there's going to be a period on board Tychon during which shit is happening and there's not a damn thing anybody can do about it except for you, Loris. So I'd quite like to know what you're doing on board Tychon, knowing that you have successfully blown the airlock, but presumably having been informed by the captain that the ship's still out there, you didn't blow it up.
Does the Tychon have any weapons?
Yes. I don't think it has a lot, because it's a civilian ship. But I think probably there's a small arms locker.
No, I meant external guns.
Oh, ship guns.
Ship guns that I can use to fire at the ship.
No, not really. It's got your fighter on board.
What was wrong with my fighter again? Something pretty serious, wasn't it?
The life support was out. I was listing them. Yeah. I was trying to remember the list. Your guns are out.
It's not working, basically.
Your comms were working. That was the one thing that was working.
And your engines are working.
And what was my colleague's? Wrong with my colleague's ship?
It's you and Minerva, and she had the same problem, basically.
I noted it because, I mean, you were more worried about the comms than the life support. Oh, it's the life support.
Yeah, the life support, I mean... Like, obviously,
life support,
you wouldn't
life
want to be
support.
Out there for any length of time, but the life you would survive for a short period of time, but you don't have any weapons. So.
What if I was wearing an EVA suit? hang on, my ship doesn't and her ship doesn't have any weapons either. Minerva's ship.
They're not working, yeah.
For fuck's sake.
So, no, you don't have any weapons.
There's definitely EVA suits.
Because that would obviously prolong my time with the no life support. There's no point if I can't use my weapons.
A right pickle, aren't we?
Are there any engineers on board this ship?
Yes, there are. We established there were some engineers before. You made it sound like they had a whole kind of cadre of engineers who would come rushing down.
They did, didn't they? Did that work?
It's basically probably one guy, and he's more of a maintenance man than an engineer.
So he can't get my weapons working.
I mean, I wouldn't say definitely not, but it seems fairly unlikely. You could pull strings to try and get something like that to happen.
Yes. How do I do that?
You roll pull strings.
This isn't going to go well, is it? Is it based off war by any chance? Oh, smooth, you say. Is this realistic?
I mean,
it feels not really very realistic.
That you would be able to get some help with this.
That a maintenance person, I don't really want to like talk myself out of the opportunity, but it feels unrealistic that a maintenance guy on a civilian ship would be able to fix military weaponry.
No, I mean, I think if at this point, probably the way I would run it, I don't think this is quite in line with the wording of the move, but screw it. I would think that maybe if you roll well, there's actually somebody else on board.
Okay,
who happens
I'll do
to
that
be there
then.
On like shore leave or whatever.
I'm going to head up to the captain and ask the captain if there's anybody on board the ship who can get my guns working. And then my plan would be to put an EVA suit on to try and give myself max life support and then fly back out and use my guns in my ship because then I will be much more effective.
Yeah, okay.
What move is it?
It's just pull strings.
Okay. It's not shotgun diplomacy. That's just
no, out. I wish it was shotgun diplomacy, frankly. I think we'd all be in a much better position if I could use raw, but I can't. So, yep. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, I'm rolling.
Don't
hang
fuck
on.
It up.
Let me just check what my smooth is. It's minus one, as I suspected.
Oh, you don't say.
So I rolled a five.
Lol.
I didn't. I rolled a six, but obviously it's a minus one. So that's a five, Josh.
Have you got any pressure to burn?
Not enough to make it worthwhile.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Come on, you want to throw a wobbly on the middle of the car park, ship car park area.
What I want to do, I know what I want to do. If when I need to either release pressure or go over the edge, I'm going to punch Catan so hard in the face.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say me then.
And to be honest, I'd do that even if I didn't have to release pressure because it's just Catan's face.
All right. So you go up to see the captain. Captain Winthrop is up on his bridge and he is looking a little concerned. He's looking at a display with a look of concern on his face. Glances over to you as you come in and sort of beckons you over.
Hello, Captain.
Hi. How you doing?
I've had better days. I've had worse.
Me too. The first part, not the second part.
Don't worry, we can pull this back.
Yes. Yes, good. That is good to hear. I like your thinking there. However, we seem to have a bit of a problem here. Look at this display here.
Oh, look at the display.
So what you can see there is the like the radar display for the Tycon. You can see the Tycon marked on there. You can see the Agamemnon. You can see Hecate like on the other side of the Agamemnon. And I don't know whether his thing is good enough to pick up fighters at that distance. So maybe you can see them, maybe you can't. The fighters over with the Hecate. He says, you see?
Yeah, where the hell's the rest of the fleet?
Yeah, would he know about that you gave the order to jump?
Because you specifically told him not to.
Yeah, he would know. Yeah, that's right. He says, yes, of course. What's his name? Gave the order to jump, so they're all gone.
First decent thing Catan's done for ages.
He looks at you, frowns, and then shrugs his shoulders, and then says, yes, but what else isn't there?
What's not there, Josh?
The transport that you are trying to keep from landing on our ship.
Okay, Josh, so what are the reasons behind why that transport might not be there? Might it be in a black spot? Might it be in, like, they're too close to the ship and they've basically found another place to lock on?
Yes, it could be those things. It could be that it's been blown up.
it hasn't been blown up, I don't think. I think I know it hasn't been blown up, don't I?
I don't know. Like, I don't think you could know, but like the audience sure as hell knows.
I'm taking it that we didn't blow it up when we did the airlock.
No. We watched it fly away.
Give me the last known position.
He gives you the last known position. I think what you will have is that it keeps kind of making close passes towards the ship and then coming back out again. You can possibly see a pattern if you want to try and seek something out.
Yeah, let's do that because I could roll.
You're going to roll all your best stats.
I'm
going to
roll all
today.
My best stats. So what's seek it at? It's sharp.
But you can't be minus one in sharp as well, can you?
No, I'm not. I'm just zero on sharp. I'm not a sharp person. You're just making me roll all my... Nothing on roll.
You're averagely sharp.
I'm averagely
sharp. Some of the
sharp.
Best scientists in the galaxy are the same sharp.
Ah, well, it turns out that I am 11 on sharp.
Nice, okay.
Today.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Know roughly what it means. So you tell me, because
You want me to tell you what the move says? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you seek out something well hidden, say what you're looking for, or just that you're sure there's something to find here. So I think I'm sure there's something to find here, Josh, but I don't know what. Roll sharp. On a hit, you find it. Then it says on a 7 to 9, the GM chooses one, but I'm assuming because I rolled an 11, you don't.
Yeah, what are the three things that I'm not choosing? Because obviously I have to give you.
There's four things.
Four, okay.
You attract unwanted attention. You discover something unexpected and horrifying. You found it, but something stands between you and it. Your investigation takes a long time, allowing your enemies to advance their plans.
All right, cool. He shows you like a little recording of what they've been able to pick up on their sensors. And this ship is not really designed for tracking other ships in great detail like that. So it's kind of crap and partial, but your pilot's brain is pretty good at interpreting this kind of data, and you quite quickly realise that what it's showing is the transport has headed to the one bit where it can be guaranteed not to be seen, which is in between the rear thrusters on the ship. So it's going to... What you surmise... They must be attempting to land at the rear of the ship, presumably to either get on the outside of the ship or cut their way through one or the other.
Okay. I'll relay that information.
The captain looks horrified. Well, what are we going to do?
How close is that to the engines?
I mean, it's pretty close. That's where the stuff comes out. I'm not an engineer.
He sounds like me if I... Captain.
What if we abandoned ship and blew the engines? Or is that a bit overkill?
It's a very Loris-style solution.
Yeah, well, she's not very good at these sorts of decisions. That's why she prefers to have a CAG to tell her where to shoot.
This is not the kind of thing that I've been really briefed on, Lieutenant. Blow the engines. I'm sure that must be somewhere in the manual. You want me to look that up? He starts looking underneath the nearby desk.
Well, have we got any other options?
I don't know. You're the military guy.
Josh, this transport,
yes.
How many Marines would it be carrying?
I think it probably a standard complement would be 10. That's what I think.
So?
But?
Yes.
The standard complement of 10 can't just, get into a ship.
No.
Because... if they've not got an airlock, then it's going to be quite challenging for them to get on the ship because there isn't a really easy point of ingress. So that's your advantage, I guess, is that...
But if they're cutting through that close to the engine, that also doesn't feel super safe. So maybe that won't be the cut-in point.
Maybe.
Maybe they just shed some eyes on what they're doing.
What are you going to do? You got to do something pretty quick. You think that they probably have not yet landed, but that it will be imminent. You have a matter of minutes at best, probably more.
What would happen if we just fired the engines, not blew the engines, but fired the engines up and started moving?
Well, if they're competent, probably nothing, because they're deliberately landing in between the thrusters.
No, I don't mean in terms of blowing them out of the sky. I just mean in terms of getting ahead of them so they can't latch on.
Oh, I see.
Because they're not going to have a lot of manoeuvrability if they're trying to like thread the needle in between the two thrusters to lock on.
You could attempt that, I think.
Could I attempt to fly this transport bucket? This like...
Yes, yeah, you're a pilot, so you can do it. I think...
Yeah, baby.
It's probably... I'm not going to give you thread the needle, because thread the needle is for people flying proper ships. And you're not really trying to
I'm
going to
tell the captain with us you said this isn't a proper ship.
Well, it isn't. I mean, it's just a big flipping cruise ship, basically. So...
I'm not the thread in this situation. I'm the needle.
Yes, they're trying to thread the needle. You're trying to shake them off.
I am trying to shake them off and make their lives hard by flying this bucket. That's my plan.
Sure. I'll allow it. Why not?
Woohoo!
Not least because it doesn't roll your raw, so.
Just going to make me roll everything but raw. Captain, this is my plan.
I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't bother to tell the captain.
I kind of need his permission to fly his ship, I'm guessing.
He just sort of flaps his hands and goes, yes, go on.
Okay.
Whatever.
I'll roll to shake him off then. What does shake him off come off?
Hard.
Oh, could be worse. Could be smooth. I rolled an 8.
So, that's my choice, isn't it? Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Use something up.
Don't escape unscathed, and the threat intensifies, escalates, or targets someone else.
Okay, I think that the transport is going to target the engines on your ship and try to stop you from flying away, which is a bit of a thread the needle move in and of itself, but they're at leisure. There's not really anything you can do to them right now.
I could reverse.
They can take their time. I'm not sure how easily you can.
No,
reverse,
I don't think I can reverse.
Right. Thank you. That was interesting. And now we know what Loris is doing over on the cruise ship. I think we should return to the wonderful land of Hecate, where the ship is getting underway and is beginning the long arc around the Agamemnon to the Tychon. I think as the ship clears the bulk of Agamemnon, you can see that something's going on over at Tychon. Its engines are firing, which is kind of an unusual thing for Tychon to do, really. They tend to just jump and then sit there with the rest of the fleet not doing anything until it's time to jump again. So that is unusual. You can see some wreckage, and you can see, I don't know whether you'll be able to see the transport from this distance, and it wouldn't show up separately on radar. So that's what's going on over there. So what I want to know is, Dr. Roy and Vega, you were together.
Mm-hmm.
Vega had just escaped from her cell without any help from Dr. Roy, even though he was planning to rescue her somehow. And the Nexus folks have gone on their way. The Marines have gone on their way. So you're kind of on your own. And I want to know, where are you going?
Wasn't the plan to go back to the lab?
Oh, you wanted a test run, wasn't it? That's right. So you needed to hide out in my lab, and we were going to run a test. We're going to run a test to find out whether you were Korax or not.
I think so.
And formulate some sort of other plan to solve the Agamemnon problem, but you'd come Ultimate Heroes. I might have just added that bit on at the end.
Yeah, or just come out of it alive. That's top of Sonya's list, I think.
Right. Well, here's what I think. I think you are on your way up to the lab via some service staircase thing that takes you between levels. And you can hear hushed voices saying, everybody get in. Come on. Get on board. We need to move fast. What do you do?
Do we both hear it? Or do I hear it? Or does Vane hear it?
No, you both hear it.
Okay. I sort of stop where we are. So are we like near the corner of a corridor or something? I'm just trying to picture where people might be relative to everyone else.
Yeah, I think what you must be on the stairs just below the entrance to the next level up, which is not the level that your lab is on. And it sounds as though the voices are coming from that level just above you.
Okay.
So if you stay on the stairs and whoever it is doesn't come onto the stairs, then they won't see you.
Okay, but we want to know who that is, don't we?
You can hear the sound of rifles being prepped for fight. You know, that thing that always happens in movies where they go shh, shh. Like, I don't know why you would do that at any particular moment, to be honest. But this is the moment they're doing it. They're all shh, shh, getting their guns ready and it makes a noise. Yeah.
I'm really torn between going super bold as brass. I think that's the way I'm leaning at the moment. Okay, I think I say, wait here a minute, and I stroll up the stairs, as, like looking at my like a pad or something, and I just walk up the stairs as if. I mean, maybe Vega would be better at doing this. Vega's got all the skills, really. I mean, I don't know why I'm doing it.
What are you doing, Vega? Are you indeed waiting on the stairs?
Vega's very happy to wait away from the guns and the people. Yeah.
Okay, there's going to be a conversation in a second. I just would. I'm interested to know whether you're going to try to get close enough to hear it.
I will definitely want to hear what's being said.
Okay.
State of danger, but also curious.
Yes.
It's a tricky dilemma.
The eternal struggle.
Yes.
Dr. Roy, you what? You step out into the corridor?
Yeah, like I'm just strolling down the corridor and, like, you know, I'm focusing on something and, you know.
Right, cool. So what you see an open airlock and you see Marines getting out, and there's about a dozen of them maybe. They haven't immediately noticed you, so you've got a moment where you could get out of sight if you wanted to, otherwise they're going to see you. They're armed.
Yeah, but they're like part of the crew, right?
Well, they're just getting into the ship through an airlock from the outside. So draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, well, I could get close enough to touch them, I guess. So I'm going to stroll up.
Okay, then one of them notices you and points a gun at you. No, do they point a gun at you? No, the gun rises by like a couple of inches, but the Marine holds out his hand and says, "Stay back, please, citizen. We're just conducting a routine operation here. Need to advise you to stay out of the way."
What kind of routine operation requires full military equipment and guns? This is a civilian area, isn't it?
That's classified. This is a military ship.
Should I inform the captain about these movements? Is he aware?
They glance at each other warily, like they're thinking about that. You might even be calling them on their ship. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm just like...
their ship being, you're fucking liars.
Well, yeah, they've just come through an airlock, fully armed. There's nothing else going on. I'm very suspicious.
What would you want them to do if you were calling them on your ship?
Get back in the ship and go back to the... That's a very good question.
Because even with a top-level hit, the best you can get out of it is they are forced to either do what you want or admit that what you say is correct, which in this case would be admit that they're up to no good. Do you actually want them to do that?
I don't know where I'm going with this or what I'm doing.
I think one of the Marines, like an extra Marine, steps out and looks at you and says, "Oh, Dr. Roy."
The very same. Do they have insignia to tell them which ship they're from? Or numbers or something?
They undoubtedly do, yes. But I don't think that you would necessarily know how to recognise them.
Damn it.
Like, maybe... I don't think they're going to have, like, a special logo or something that's really obvious.
It'll just be a specific number or...
Well, maybe they've even got a symbol, but you probably... I just don't know that Dr. Roy probably gives a shit about that.
No.
Anyway, so he says, "Thank you for setting everything up. We'll handle everything from here. Is there anything we should know?"
Okay. Dr. Roy has a terrible sinking feeling in his stomach.
And at this point, I think it's important to know, Vega, you can hear this. I'm assuming that you've crept forward and can hear it. I am willing for people to make cover-up roles as needed to prevent other people from hearing important stuff if you want.
Yeah, so I say, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I get what you're talking about, officer. And I sort of roll my eyes around like that at them.
He looks at you, frowns, and then he glances over in the direction of the entrance to the stairwell and raises his eyebrows slightly, like quizzically.
I'd suggest that you don't make any hasty moves in the civilian area with those weapons, officers, and perhaps you should report to another deck, an upper deck, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we'll be moving to another deck. Is there something we should know, Dr. Roy? He glances back at the stairwell.
I'm just relieved that you're here. A number of our officers are out on one of the frigates. It seems like there's an emergency.
He says, yes, the Hecate fighters got in the way over there, but I think it's only a matter of time. But it's more important that we control the situation here. Well, we're going to get moving. Thanks for your help.
And where will your first stop be, officer?
Are you trying to get some information out of him?
Yeah.
I think you're trying to seek out something well hidden. That's what I think you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, this is extremely hard. This is like playing, like being Memento guy. It's like I'm trying to piece together what they know that I know that I don't know. So that,
yeah, and that's why I think I'm going to make you roll the dice now, because that will help you to
know something.
Yeah, to know exactly what is going on or not, depending on what you roll.
Well, I've just bought another sharp, so actually, you're trailing, Loris.
Not as stupid as Loris.
No.
I didn't have any sharp to begin with.
With my plus one, it's 10.
Woohoo! Oh, boy. Okay, cool.
Best purchase I've ever made.
Yes, that, as it turns out, that's pretty good. Fine, so he leans in to you and he says, look, we're going ahead with the plan. We're going to be heading straight up to the bridge. Once we've got control of Hecate, we can bring it alongside Agamemnon, and this whole business will be dealt with. Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find links to Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, Lovecraft Desk has got about 2.5 days left on Backer Kit crowdfunding, so if you want to get in on that, follow the link in the show notes and back the campaign. See you next time. But did you see we got some compliments from some of you weren't are not on the relevant social medias, but Alex White wrote Cool and Lonely Courage has started listening to us.
Aww.
And says it's his favourite AP podcast at the moment.
Aww.
Really likes the length, really likes the feel of it, like it feels like we're really, unlike other APs, he said it feels like you're actually there at the table. So, yeah, that's nice. And Gil says hello.
Also.
Oh, hello, Gil.
Hi, Gil.
Yeah, he has popped up on social media and said, way behind in the podcast, but just heard your post-wedding shout-out. Enjoyed meeting you folks as well. And yeah, totally on board with the Twiggos concept.
But does he have an opinion on how Twiggos should be spelt?
Well, he spelt it T-W-I-G-G-O-S.
Yeah! That's a win for me. That's a win for me, Ed.
I can't deal with the wave of marketing pressure. So, you know, I'm just the inventor, you know.
I think what we're saying is that we've done some A-B testing and B clearly won.
Yes. Well, it clearly is a bit much.
It's pretty
slightly
pretty
closer than that. But yes, it won.
Yeah.
So that's the next Kickstarter anyway.
Yeah, two goes.
Yeah, nice. It looks like I don't have enough of those to run at the moment.
To write to Twiglet makers. Who makes Twiglets? I can't believe we're back on the Twiglets thing again.
Is it McVitie's?
Yeah, I think it might be, actually. Yeah, okay.
They'd
that.
Be up for something like that, I think.
No. You don't give away the brilliant Jacobs. Idea.
Jacobs.
Well, they'll still sue my butt off, won't they?
Nah, Twiggos is very clearly distinct.
I'll have to ask my lawyer, Becky.
I think that we just need to be a bit careful with the trade get-up, but you can probably get away with it in Australia, because Twiglets is, as we know, not an established brand in Australia.
And because, like, in Australia or New Zealand, I can't remember which one it is, like, Marmite is a completely different thing because somebody trademarked Marmite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's like gotta Marmite. Be New Zealand.
Yeah, maybe it was New Zealand.
Sounds plausible. So Marmite there is some other thing, and whatever the UK Marmite company presumably has a different named thing over there. I don't know.
I wonder if that's what happened with Burger King.
What's it called over there?
It's called Hungry Jack's in Australia.
Oh, yeah, I did know that.
Oh, wow. That's
not Hungry Jacko's.
No, Hungry Jack's.
Yeah, but you do go for a Hungo's when you're feeling hungo.
God, what are you...
When you're hungover and you're hungry, you go to a Hungo's.
Do you have McDonald's, though?
Yeah.
McDonald's and Hungry Jack's. And are they rivals like they are here?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. We have, at least in Victoria, we also have Red Rooster, which is chicken.
Is that like KFC type chicken?
No, it's slightly realer, but it's still takeaway. You know, like it's not... The thing that comes to you looks like a chicken. It doesn't look like...
Is it like Nando's?
Yeah, it's like Nando's. Like but a without, Nando's.
No spice. Like it's not spicy. It's not Portuguese. It's
just a chicken. It's just it's a like boring
roast chicken. It's like roast chickens just and roast chips chicken. And stuff.
You can just get a roast chicken from Tesco's.
Yeah, well, we don't have Tesco's.
Do your supermarkets not do you a rotisserie chicken?
They do.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but you can't get it like a quarter chicken and chips.
You can in some Asdas.
That used to be the standard thing in pubs, didn't it? If you went for a pub lunch, you could have a half chicken.
Half a chicken with chips. Mm.
Chips. People don't seem to do that
chicken
much
in
anymore.
Chicken in a basket.
Chicken right, in a basket.
Get to Red Rooster.
Yeah, that's what we need to do.
Mm. Well, just fly over and go to a Red Rooster.
It's Marmite. It's a yeast extract, but it's made by a different company. And you can buy Marmite, the New Zealand Marmite, in Australia. Which is probably why you Australians don't like Marmite, because you've been tasting the New Zealand Marmite the whole time.
Nick's tried our Marmite, though, and been pretty clear on his feelings about it. My favourite Marmite story is somebody I saw talking, a Dutch man, saying that when he first encountered Marmite, and he thought it was Apfelstrup, I think he said.
Oh, yeah, I think you've told the story before.
Which like sweet, basically. I think he thought it spooned it into his mouth, thinking it was like a thick apple syrup.
Have you told everyone about the spreads that you got?
The spreads. Oh, so as all of you, and not the listeners, but as my Slack buddies know, we have ordered ourselves a Bon Maman advent calendar.
Which is jams in an advent calendar.
Fancy jams in an advent, like the tiny little jams that you would get if you went and had a cream tea somewhere at the National
American
Trust.
American friends, that's
jam.
Jellies to you.
Is it jellies? Because I thought jellies didn't have bits in.
No, you're right, but they don't have jam. So what? To them, that like, do you know what a PBJ is? Peanut butter and jelly, and that's basically peanut butter and jam.
American listeners, do you not, does your, what do you call jelly that has bits in? Like chunks of fruit.
Oh, no. So somebody didn't make this jelly properly.
Undercooked jelly.
But they send you a free gift with the advent calendar.
Yes, jam.
Of,
jam in America is known as jam.
Oh, jolly good.
No, it isn't.
Jam is made of crushed fruit cooked with pectin to make it congeal in a soft, spreadable solid. These are available in every American grocery store. Jam, and then there's a link. Jam and jelly are used from different products in America and the UK.
What I really need right now is a soft, spreadable solid.
A soft, spreadable solid.
I've been lied to. I was sure that this was the case.
Right, so jelly, I didn't know this either. Jelly is made from fruit juice cooked in pectin.
Yeah.
Which is more common.
They strain the bits out.
There we go.
I mean, I've made jelly, but I thought that American jelly was... British jam. Anyway, Becky, continue the story. Very important story.
So the advent calendar comes with a free gift, which is
jam.
A branded knife.
More jam.
For spreading things. A jar of chocolate hazelnut paste. A jar of chocolate and orange spread. And a jar of caramel apple spread.
Blimey.
That's going to be better than most of what's in the advent calendar, is my worry.
Yeah, are they already gone at this point? Then?
I have decided on behalf of the family that since that was a free gift and not part of the advent calendar, that we can open them now.
Sure.
But they have not yet been opened. There's going to be a fight over the caramel apple.
I think there might be a fight
if I'm in the room. Apple.
Yeah, that's one that sounds the most appealing. I really don't like chocolatey spread things on toast.
The children will. Hopefully we can just confuse the children with the chocolate spread while we scoff the caramel.
Oh, we'll have some of that chocolate orange, though. The chocolate orange will be delicious. I love chocolate and orange flavoured things.
Yeah, me too.
Mm. Not as good as a caramel apple, though. That sounds amazing.
Have you decided, have you guys decided if you're going to get funky advent calendars this year? I know in the past we've had pork scratchings and tea and all sorts.
I think we burned ourselves a little bit on Christmas 2020, I think it was.
That was a hard year.
Yeah, we had like five advent calendars.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's more than I was expecting.
Wow.
And that was quite a year. I mean, you know, under circumstances, we did very well.
I have to say, I was looking up, because as soon as I heard about this jam thing, I was like, jam, you know, it's okay, I guess. But there must be some really cool advent calendars out there with different things in now. And there are, but then none of them seem to be like 24 or 25 things. It's kind of like, here's an advent calendar, it's got 10 things in it. And I'm like,
yeah.
What? No.
Where's the rest of it?
Yeah. There's a lot of knitting advent calendars, which are 24 packages. Each one contains a little yarn.
A tiny jumper that you can make. little knitted trousers.
Someone's been aggressively advertising a embroidery advent calendar. So you get like 10 little cloth bags. And in each side, every cloth bag is an embroidery that you do for the day.
Oh man, that's just jobs though, isn't it?
Yes, the first thing I thought was that's exactly like work.
Yeah, it's like as soon as you're one day behind,
it suddenly becomes pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I'm gonna make my own advent calendar of mending. Today I'm gonna mend Josh's stripy jumper. So I'm gonna sew a button on my coat. And on like the 24th, there should be a big special one for the 24th. It should be like, you know, unblock all the drains.
I have a really important Marmite question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Is a spoon of Marmite a preemptive hangover cure? Is that a thing you do?
No.
That sounds awful.
Because a spoon of Vegemite is.
That sounds awful.
You come home after a bender. You crack open the Vegemite. You get a spoon. You have a spoon of Vegemite. It's a truckload of the teaspoon of salt and vitamin B.
And it makes you drink a massive drink of water afterwards.
And there's even odds that it's going to make you hurl, so you can just get it out of the way.
Oh, I've Marmite on toast, maybe.
Nah.
Yeah, nice Marmite spoonful. On toast. And you
not
get
a
back.
Spoon of Marmite.
Cup of tea.
You'd have to be very drunk, wouldn't you?
Marmite pasta.
Marmite pasta.
No, we do
kebab.
We eat Marmite pasta sometimes, even a pinch.
Who's we? Are you speaking for the nation now?
Well, like, Nigella Lawson invented this recipe, and we have made it loads because the kids love it. There's a teaspoon of Marmite.
It's very good.
A large knob of butter.
Tablespoon.
Right. Tablespoon of butter.
Of Marmite.
Cook your pasta.
All right.
Toss it in the melted buttery Marmite-y goodness. And then have parmesan and salt and pepper on top.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great.
Interesting.
I'm going to go and have some now.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. I don't know.
It's good. And it's really fast. Like, and, you know, everyone's got all the ingredients already, so you don't need to go out to the shops.
I can confirm. Becky's not exaggerating.
I'm not lying.
It's delicious. And you should definitely have it.
Well, it's very salty, cheesy umami, isn't it? So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's not a teaspoon of fucking Marmite just directly into your face. I mean, to be honest, if I was going to do that, though, I would sprinkle some parmesan on top. I think a teaspoon of Marmite with a little
But you've just come home munted. What are the odds that you're gonna get out your micro grater and just...
No. Here's what I would do. If I know that I'm going to go out and get munted, then I'm going to preload. It's going to be like a little yogurt pot.
A little shot glass.
Yeah. It's half full of Marmite, and then the top layer is Parmesan cheese, compacted Parmesan cheese. So you get your spoon, you just go... And then you hurl violently.
Yeah, I mean, try it sometime.
No.
Oh my god.